The WILS phone lines are open on the Jack and Tom Show.
393-3700.
Go ahead. Tell Jack and Tom why they're wrong. Again.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. You can follow us online, 1320WILS.com. Listen to the streaming or catch the podcast segments if you missed something earlier. We had Mohsin Mohammed on, just talked with John Fortner, the Wolverine, and Chris Patrick, former Nebraska standout, now with the 49ers. We're going to be talking with Percy Snow a little bit later in the show as well. Also, I want to invite you to follow us on Facebook, Jack and Tom Show, or Twitter, Jack and Tom 1320, and we'll be sending a few reports today from Spartan Stadium as well. Let's go out to our phones. Let's try Flat Gut on line one. Hello, Flat.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning, Tom.
How you doing, FG?
I am blessed, thanks. Hey, I think the keys to Michigan State winning today are that they can't leave any points on the field. One of my questions.
They better not leave any flags on the field either. They're averaging nine penalties a game. You know, Wisconsin's had 11 penalties all year. Michigan State gets 11 in a game.
Well, Jack, I'm a man of law of averages, and I expect that Wisconsin will have more penalties today and Michigan State will have less.
Okay.
And I think the reason that Michigan State's defense looks so bad, or passing defense looks so bad, is because teams just can't run on them.
Yeah, the run defense has been pretty good. And they have stopped the big play for the most part, but they can't get off the field. Their third down defense is not good, Tom.
Right. Well, you know, and then thing about Michigan State, though, I think that's going to be the difference, is the balance that they're going to have offensively. I think Kirk Cousins, the precision is going to kick in one of these times, you know what I mean, and get back to where I thought this guy, I was sold on Kirk Cousins going into the season.
Well, last three halves, starting with the halftime at Notre Dame, he's 28 for 32.
Oh, okay, 28 for 32, and thanks so much, Flat Gut, but 28 of 32 and four of those quarters against Northern Colorado.
True.
So once again, you got to throw these disclaimers. You cannot judge. Let's go out to the phones, and we have Mark Dotson.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Have you ever met Flat Gut? I'm curious as to where the name comes from.
No, I thought it was the two of you. Because
no,
it's
paying homage to Jack's six-pack abs.
There you go. You got it.
I'm looking at it right now.
What the kid out of I can't remember where he was out of, but there was a big debate over a high school kid coming out last year, scored a bunch of touchdowns. I think he ended up, the question early on was whether or not he might be good enough to go to Michigan State, but I think he ended up going to Central.
You're talking about Chris Robinson.
Yeah,
he was an unbelievable back. He's another member of the State Journal's All-Decade team. And he wound up at Grand Valley, which is absolutely loaded. Could be a national championship.
That could be a MAC school.
Is he playing?
No, he's redshirting.
Really?
Okay. Yeah,
looks shows like you how good that program is.
But you know what? That's a great thing for him academically, because that was the question. It wasn't athletically. It was a matter of wanting him to get a foundation where he wasn't going to be a one and done.
Oh, good decision.
That way. So it works out fine, I think. And as much as he would want to be on the field, sometimes it's better. Hey, Mark, you know, there's a program on tomorrow I want to let you know about, if you don't already, on Outside the Lines. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I've seen this, and it is absolutely disgusting. It's about a kid named David Sills. You know that
name? Last name is what again?
His name is David Sills. I think he's 13 years old. He's already committed to USC.
You got to be kidding me.
Oh, football? His dad has bought
football
everything.
Or basketball?
Football, quarterback. 13 years old. So he might have just turned 14.
I heard about the guy that committed to IU basketball as a freshman this year. I'm going to check that out. I didn't know about that. I'll check
this
it
kid's
out.
An eighth grader, and since he was 10 years old, he's been working with pro quarterback coaches.
The old man is like Tom Marinovich's dad.
On steroids.
Is he the guy that Poitier worked with? This is the guy out of there, Guru. Some kind of guru out of California. Is he out of California?
Yes.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yes.
The Glenn Robinson Jr., I've talked to several people about him, and the impression I get without seeing him is supposedly he's got some potential. Right now, if Purdue didn't offer him because they just thought they had better players within their scope right now. But he's a junior right now. He doesn't have his father's game. Nobody expects him to have his father's game, but supposedly he's got a pretty decent upside, so we'll see. But
he'll have opportunities.
Yeah, an opportunity. Definitely. That's it.
All right. Thanks, okay, Mark. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You know, that story, I mean, but why, you know, why even put a feature? Why draw attention to that? Just don't, you know what I mean?
It drove me crazy.
Why,
when I watched
you know,
this.
Bob Lee does a tremendous job. I mean, I'm a big Bob Lee fan since the early days with George Grand, you know, in the first broadcast of ESPN back in 1979. But I'm a little disappointed that they showcased this type of hype.
You know who did it? Jeremy Schapp did the feature, and it shows parental abuses. That's what I got.
So that's the angle on it? What's the angle?
So.
What's the news peg? Is it a negative news peg or a positive?
I think it's a very negative news peg. I think the news peg is, here's a guy who now they had special incentives, scholarships for these guys to go to this academy, and they were all football players. So,
right. That's not right at all.
We've talked about Mike Griffith. We've had Mike Griffith on the show from Knoxville, and he was in town this week back visiting friends and his daughter, Jennifer, who's a softball player at Lansing Community College for Bob Every. And he's on his way back to Tennessee, just sent me a text message. He said, U of M fans had to show up for the Bowling Green game. It was the only sure home win on the schedule. They should have made it homecoming.
Hey, they got Illinois. They got Illinois at home.
That's a win.
They got Michigan State at home. That's a win.
Whoa.
They got Iowa at home.
Whoa.
I think that. Well, in my early predictions,
if
I had
you
them.
Think Michigan State and Iowa are wins, you're guaranteeing, then you shouldn't.
I didn't guarantee. No, 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 no. I didn't.
You
guarantee.
Said they're wins.
Michigan State. So I'm sticking with my early predictions. I had them 8-4, and I had them winning their first six and dropping four of their last six.
Who do you have them losing to? If you've got them 7-0.
No. You didn't let me finish my statement on Iowa. I said they're going to beat Michigan State and lose to Iowa.
Oh, they're going to lose to Iowa.
Yeah, that's how I said it.
So you've got them 6-0.
I might as well stick with that. But
then
I go back and forth because Iowa, you know, Iowa looks like they're beatable. After I watched that whole game against Arizona, I wasn't impressed by Iowa. They got such a good coach, though. When you hear Kirk Ferentz in those Big Ten pressers, God, he sounds good. I like him. He could have been Michigan's coach, you know.
Could have. Maybe should
have. Who dropped the ball on that one?
Don't know. Mary Sue Coleman wanted that. I think maybe Bill Martin dropped a couple balls. He's fumbled a few times.
Yeah. He's got about 12, 14 turnovers to his credit.